Hello, everyone. I am Angela Jenkins. I'm the founder and CEO of Solarte Collections, a skincare brand that inspires beauty from the inside out. And today, March 3rd, we are actually interviewing an extraordinary woman. She has just become a U.S. citizen, and she owns and runs the up-and-coming real estate group, Fader Ari. So she is here today as a Solarte strong woman. She gives back to her community. She is so engaging, and we're so proud of all that she has accomplished here in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. So without further ado, Claire, welcome.
Thank you very much.
And we would love to hear just how you got started in real estate. Mm-hmm. We'll cover that as well as your status as a new U.S. citizen. But let's start with real estate. How did you get started?
Well, I was actually an independent musician for most of my 20s and early 30s. And then as I started to think about having a family, I got married. I started to think I didn't want to spend life on the road. And also the music business was changing in ways that were becoming more and more challenging for artists. And around that time, my husband and I purchased our first home together. And I realized that I loved real estate. And I started stalking houses, the house we purchased, and then for months afterwards, to the point that my realtor at the time, Michael Ryden, said, you know, you spend more time thinking about real estate than most real estate agents I know. Have you ever thought of getting into real estate? And, you know, that conversation happened. And 6 months later, I was working with him. And then, you know, within a very short few years, I had a really successful real estate world.
Right. Because I saw a lot of write-ups on you and was so inspired by your tenacity and just the vulnerability it takes to really branch out and do your own thing. And so how long did it take for you? You worked with a group
for about 10 years. Just over 10 years. And during that time, I had two children as well. So, you know, I had a moment where I looked up and I loved working with the company I was with. But I realized that so much of my passion for marketing, I wasn't really using it to my full benefit. Mm-hmm. And so it was just one of these funny things that I took the leap very quickly. I mean, I've spoken to other people who strategically plan for 6 months before they make a move like that. And I think mine might have been 6 days. But wow. You know, once I make my mind up about something, I can't, for good or for bad, I can't kind of wait. And, you know, I probably created some unnecessary chaos for myself by doing that. And, you know, maybe other small business owners can relate. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, I'm so glad I did it. And it has been and continues to be such a great adventure.
Right. And so how many are on your team? I mean, how many people do you have right now?
So I have a team that has 3 licensed agents. And then I have an admin and an office manager now as well, so who's licensed. So there's 4 realtors that work with me, as well as our admin person.
Right.
And it's a wonderful group. It's all women, although that might change soon. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we're all very similar in that we love being engaged with people and engaged with the community. I haven't met a successful introverted realtor yet. We're all fairly extroverted at going and just love chatting with people.
Well, and I think somebody just had a baby in your office, right?
Yes. Yeah, so our admin person, Loretta, did. And she's so cute. She texted to say, I want to come back to work. And we keep saying to her, please, your baby's only a month old. Give yourself a little bit more time if you can. So
that's great.
We definitely realized how much we depended on her while she's been on maternity leave. But we also don't want her to rush back.
Right. Well, I think that just being in real estate, you know, the flexibility that is sort of there, I think, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, for agents, and you know, you have to be there for your customers and your clients, but you can kind of have your own hours for them. I mean, am I right about that, or am I completely off?
No, you're right. And it's sort of funny because what it really means is you work all the time in a way, mm-hmm. but in a way that offers the flexibility that there might be 30 minutes that I can guarantee that I can pick my kids up and get them home. Of course, my husband's been working from home for a year, so childcare hasn't been that much of an issue, but there's a lot of flexibility. And I think some realtors are better at creating boundaries so that they don't work all the time. I'm a little bit of an all or nothing kind of person. So I'm learning and trying to make that the mission of my 40s to really figure out how to delegate more and support my team more and play more of a background role, playing to my strengths, which at this point are based on all my years in this business.
Right. So what type of boundaries do you think you're really good at right now? I mean, the ones that you're trying to practice more of.
So
like, what does that look like?
Yeah. So for a while, I was better at really just being the background for advice. And this is a very exciting time to be in real estate. There's a lot of moving parts. Things are moving very quickly. So there's a lot of times where just having years of kind of hustle when real estate wasn't quite so exciting or mm-hmm. things weren't moving quite so quickly that, you know, I learned a good deal that's really coming in to help now when you're dealing with multiple offer situations and things like that. So for me, I'm really trying to support my team to be out in front of people. And I'm in the background, really looking at the data, looking at where we should be pricing things, how we should be marketing them, where we should be marketing them, and using my years of experience to really, I mean, I have to say we've had a very, very successful, the most successful January of my real estate career was this year.
Right.
And a lot of that was because I was delegating more and doing more of the strategic stuff behind the scenes.
That's good. So, I mean, everyone is talking about, you know, in the residential markets, I mean, gosh, do I put my house on the market and make $200,000 or more, you know, right now, today? And yet, the other question is, then where would I go if I sell? So what's your answer when somebody says to you, okay, I'm ready to make the profit on my home, but then I want to kind of have the similar home. So, I mean, what are your answers for that type of client?
So I think like a lot of jumps in life, or when you're taking chances, you have to be comfortable with a little bit of uncertainty, mm-hmm. but then you also have to plan for a lot of different outcomes. Mm-hmm. And so I've had some clients really take advantage of the market and also do it in a way where they're having fun. So for example, I've had clients who say, okay, we'll sell. Maybe we'll go try living downtown for 6 months in a condo. We'll put most of our things in storage and see what we think about living smaller in a condo so that we can spend more time in the mountains or something. So I've had clients do that and then figure out, you know what, they actually don't need the big home that they thought they did. Mm-hmm. They'd be happier with sort of a lock and leave condo type situation. So it's been really fun. And I think first being organized so that when you're either downsizing, if you're thinking about downsizing, you're parting with things. And that's really hard for people. The longer you spend in one home, the harder the move is. I think it's really good for people to move every, you know, 5 to 10 years, maybe 7 to 10 years.
Right, right.
Just because it forces you to question what you own and what you really need to keep. Mm-hmm. And so the hardest moves are for my clients who've lived in houses for decades.
Right.
Because they've accumulated so much. It's a real challenge. And there's a lot of emotional and practical issues that come along when you're parting with, you know, decades of possessions. So I think it is a fun time to maybe take advantage of the appreciation we're seeing. This is more appreciation in the last 12 to 18 months than in my entire 12 plus years in real estate in Winston-Salem. So it is an exciting time. And, you know, people are downsizing, moving, getting more space, and nobody ever ends up homeless. You know, we always figure something out. Sometimes, you know, between my team and I, between our contacts and our clients' contacts, we find somewhere that they can rent temporarily for a few months while they continue their search. But touch wood, I haven't had anyone sell their home and regret it.
That's great.
Yeah.
Well, and again, my husband and I go back and forth. We've been in ours about 9 years now in our home. And so, you know, I keep telling him, I'm like, I think it is the right time. And he's kind of more of the sentimental. I mean, I'm sentimental on a lot of levels, but, you know, I can detach and simplify my life where needed. And, you know, who knows, maybe you jump in an RV and travel the country, and I'm teasing sort of, I can't really do that right now, but yeah, there's so many options that people have,
there really
you
are.
Know?
Yeah.
So tell me about being a mom in this busy, busy world that you, I mean, real estate is booming, and it's, if I'm a working mother, you know, that brings its challenges, but also there's some good things, right? So tell me how that's been in the last year.
I do think we got very lucky with the ages of our children going into COVID. They are 9 and 11, and so they're relatively close in age. When they're not killing each other, they're playing quite well together. You know, I feel so bad for my friends who have clients in kindergarten or seniors in high school. So for us, yeah, there's been challenges. There's been times, of course, when we've been doing remote work. And fortunately, they've been in school a fair amount as well. But just in terms of their ages, these are ages where we don't feel like they're missing out too much academically, because they've, you know, obviously established strong reading skills and everything. They are somewhat independent.
Right.
So we've made the most of the situation, and we've had a lot more family time in a way that, you know, as a busy professional, I've sometimes missed out on. So, you know, I feel embarrassed to say it, but incredibly grateful for the time that this past year. I do support a lot of different things in the community. So there will be weeks where 4 to 5 nights a week I'm at an opening or at a fundraiser. And I love doing these things because that's what makes our community move in the direction we want it to move in.
Yes.
However, it means missing bedtimes, missing dinner times. It means just a little bit more scrambling at home. Removing those things has been a gift for my kids. And I feel like I'm getting just squeezing a little bit more childhood out of my time with them in a way that I feel so grateful for. I've never felt like I've had a great work-life balance. I've always felt inadequate in both worlds. And so I'm very fortunate that my husband is very involved with the kids. So he's really stepped up, especially when they were younger. He changed his schedule, worked from home a lot so that I could work.
Right.
And they definitely got us in their lives. But looking back now, this past year has been a bit of a reset for me.
Yes. Yeah. And I think we can all say that for sure. Yeah. So tell me about your trip back to Ireland. I mean, you're from Ireland. So tell me, you were gone for several months, which is amazing.
So normally by the end of October, November, the season starts to slow down a little bit, and then it picks back up usually in mid-February. I have a great team. Some of them I've been working with for years. Some are relatively new. My husband had the opportunity to work remotely, and we thought we'd just go for 6 weeks. And then we were able to stay a little bit longer. And what I learned was that in ways I almost needed to be 4,000 miles away to learn how to delegate. So being there allowed me to think of things more from a larger perspective. I wasn't running around in my car so much on the ground. My team was doing that. And then that distance gave me time to sort of, you know, reach out to companies or individuals I haven't spoken to in a while. And it was actually really good for business, to the point that January was my most successful in real estate. So
I love hearing that. I mean, we love to champion any woman who is making her mark, and you've done that for a long time. Aww. But so then when you were there, did you do a lot of backpacking? I mean, what did you do
so
while you were there?
The pandemic is global. So the limitations there for periods that we were there were even more stricter than they are here. So no restaurants open, only for takeout. No, only grocery stores really are open. We were staying in the countryside, so we were surrounded by like nature and cows and farms. So we just did a lot of walks in the little. The other rule is, you, for a period we were there, you couldn't exercise further than 5 kilometers from your house, which is about 3.5 miles. But we were in the slice of heaven, so we were able to explore our little area. So I walked a lot, and that was something that was really great. I was walking 1 to 2 hours every day and listening to TED Talks while I did it, and did a lot more cooking than I normally do. And yeah, so, you know, we have a lot of family there. We weren't able to see them the way we normally would because of COVID. We were able to meet for walks on occasion, but it did allow for time to continue to work, but just on the phone. I mean, I always kind of joke, my phone is my office.
Yes.
So I took my office with me to Ireland and continued to work.
I know. I love that aspect of having your own business,
absolutely,
which, you know, it's great. Yeah. So in Ireland, is it coming back around? I mean, are things coming, opening a little more, or is it still today?
So children went back to school in person. Some did for the first time on Monday this week. Mm. They've had some highs and lows. It's a population of 5 million people, so it's half of North Carolina. So it's a very different reality. In some ways, they are able to kind of change things. They have more control over things with such a small population. They had the numbers very low before Christmas, only 200 cases per day in early December. Then they eased the restrictions in time for Christmas, and the numbers went skyrocketing again.
Oh, wow.
So the lockdown came back quite strict again in January. But I have to say, I think I've been impressed with the we're all in this together aspect of things there. Again, so much easier when you have a small population.
Right.
But people are definitely struggling. You know, the lockdown, this most recent one, started basically in October, stopped over the holidays, and then started again in January. So people are getting weary like they are here.
So the vaccinations, though, I mean, they're available there too, I would imagine, right?
They are.
I mean, have your family members been able to get them, or?
They are. The rollout is slower, but they are saying that by May or June, most adults in the country will be vaccinated.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, so there's light at the end of the tunnel.
That's great. And your children must just love going back to Ireland and exploring.
Yeah.
And I mean, what neat stories they get to tell their friends, you know, and during a pandemic, to travel at all, you know.
Yeah.
It's on our bucket list. My little boy is a huge avid golfer can't wait to travel to Ireland and Scotland and play those courses. I know Carnoustie and St. Andrews, and there is one in Ireland. I'm drawing a blank.
There's one called Lahinch that's very close to where we stay while we're there.
Okay. Was that open while you were there? No.
Really nothing is open.
Okay.
Yeah. Where we stay is about 10 minutes from the closest village.
Mm-hmm.
So being completely in the countryside, there are neighbors, but we didn't feel the pandemic on a daily basis as much.
Right.
So yeah. It was really a magic experience, and we probably wouldn't have been able to do it were it not for the pandemic. So, you know, the pandemic has just thrown things asunder in terrible ways for some folks, which, you know, is hard to watch. But we've been very grateful for the time that it gave us in ways made me realize how much I've been working for so long.
Yes, yes. Well, it does force you to take a pause. Yeah. I know our warehouse was shut down for 6 weeks, I believe, in the very beginning of all of this. And I just thought, my warehouse, I mean, everything is there. And, you know, I have people there. And we actually, as a small brand, we share a warehouse with other brands. Mm-hmm. So it affected all of the brands that were there, but we worked together, actually store some of the product at home and was able to ship, you know, orders out from my own home. You do what you have to do, you know, to keep moving.
So you were able to continue.
I was, but some of the other brands didn't have inventory at home and weren't able to get to it. And, I just always kind of keep that emergency stash, you know, just in case something happens and, you know, there's a flood at the warehouse or what have you. Yeah. So getting back to, you said you took long walks, listened to TED Talks. Mm-hmm. I want to hear about what your interest in TED Talks, which one and or how many are you listening to? Is there one in particular?
I'm very interested in globalization and issues to do with immigration and citizenship. Mm. Also interested in environmental issues. But during the pandemic, I went through periods of maybe having a little too much wine with dinner and noticing that it really affected my sleep. So around June of last year, I started to really try to cut back on COVID wine consumption and also noticed the impact it had on my sleep. So then I started to listen to a lot of TED Talks about sleep. And there's one gentleman named Matt Walker.
Okay.
And he's written quite a few books on sleep. And he has a great TED Talk called Sleep is Your Superpower. And I've really enjoyed listening to him. And it definitely clarified for me how important it is to protect your sleep. And that might mean cutting out a glass of wine with dinner, because even just a glass of wine has a negative impact on my sleep. So, you know, a combination of, I love listening to business stories, how people got their start, or, you know, adventures in starting small businesses, but then also just some about health as well.
Right. Yeah. Well, I'll have to check out Matt Walker. I am definitely a sleeper. I know a lot of business owners don't sleep. I have to have my sleep.
Yeah.
And I'm not, you know, I think Mozart slept 3 hours a night or whatever. That amazes me. But 7 to 8 hours, I'm just not going to function very well. Now, I don't take naps. I know people that nap during the day. I don't take naps. But, you know, sleep is powerful. It does help you reset your body and your brain. And then also our diets. I'm doing a lot less, you know, like you said, you're cooking more. I've been cooking more. I've also been just picking up, you know, Village Juice, who's one of our local great restaurants, picking up their salads, their juices, their clean juices. And, you know, you have to. I mean, you cannot lead a team. You can't do your job well if you haven't slept or eaten well. So, well, good. So tell me a little bit more about your American citizenship. And I want to hear the process, because, I mean, I feel like I'm spoiled because I'm a U.S. citizen and I never had to go through that. But I can't imagine, you know, just a lot of the hurdles that you go through. So you were running your business before you became a citizen. Tell me the process and what you learned from that, or what you can share with the world on your immigration.
So I am very fortunate in that I sort of ended up with two paths to citizenship. My mother married an American when they'd been together for years, but they got married when I was 20, which allowed me to apply for a green card. They were moving here at the time. So I received my green card when we were living in Canada at that time. When they moved here, I stayed in Canada for university. After university, I came to the States in my early 20s and ended up meeting my husband. As a green card holder, I really had all the benefits of citizenship, except I could not do jury duty, which, you know, I was not heartbroken about
that.
But I couldn't vote. I wasn't very public with the fact that I wasn't a citizen, because I am very active in my community. And it's sort of embarrassing that I hadn't gotten my citizenship, because our votes are also important. So around last year, or even before, I thought, you know, this is ridiculous. I need to become a citizen. I have American children. I have an American husband. I have a life here in the U.S. It's past time. And so I did. Again, I am very fortunate because of my status that it was a relatively easy process. It was a little surreal. I mean, I've been to other friends' citizenship ceremonies, and they're really lovely, and it's really moving, and there's people from around the world, and it's really joyous. And they've even had some in Old Salem, because I can't remember, there's some connection between Old Salem and the citizenship ceremonies. Anyway, this one was sort of not a miserable experience, but it was sort of surreal because it was just me. We couldn't have any family in an office in Charlotte.
Right.
And it was, you know, still moving in a sense, but they were moving us in and out of there very quickly because of COVID. So, of course, I celebrated with my family afterwards. And it did, yeah, it does mean a lot to me, especially the fact that I have American children and now that I'm a citizen. And the great thing is now, as a citizen, you don't have to renounce your other citizenships. So I'm still a citizen of Ireland, and I'm also a citizen of Canada. So I have a very, very fortunate situation. It doesn't really impact things on a daily basis, but it did allow us to be in Ireland for a few months during the pandemic.
So, sorry, how I've maybe answered, how long did it take from start to finish to
about a year.
Okay. Yeah. That's not too bad. No, but I mean, yeah. Like you said, you had mm-hmm. some advantages mm-hmm. with
huge advantages.
Your background.
First of all, I had a legal path to citizenship, but also I've had friends who have had really difficult struggles in the last couple of years with the immigration process. You know, as a country built on immigrants, it's really important that we have a functioning immigration system.
Yes.
And a path to citizenship. And, you know, there's aspects of that that are political, but there are aspects that really aren't, and they're just practical. Mm-hmm. And we've got to get back to the point where we have immigration and visas processed on a timely manner. I have a friend who has a local business here, and she is out of the country managing her business
wow.
from a distance for, it was supposed to be 6 weeks, and it's been over a year. There's a lot of people, professionals in healthcare and business owners, who have been really affected by, even pre-COVID, by the administration's basically decimation of the immigration system. So there's a lot of talent that's out there that would like to be in the U.S., that I'm hoping has the opportunity to be here and building businesses. Immigrants are, and I'm not speaking about myself when I say this, they are some of the most tenacious people I've ever met. And that's why the U.S. is the way it is. So as you can tell, I'm passionate about that aspect of our country getting back on track.
Yes. Yeah. I remember when I was a little girl, another immigration story that yeah. was really close to our family. So my uncle went to college with a guy at the University of Florida who was in the horticulture school. My uncle was actually in pre-law, but they were rooming together, and he was from Cambodia and went home to be with his family in Cambodia, and the whole country, you know, was under communism and shut down, and they were taking children out of homes and making them work in rice fields. I mean, all of that. And so my uncle found a way to get a congressman involved in the early 80s and found a way to get them, their whole family wow. rescued and moved to the United States. And his daughter, Kanika, if you're listening, she taught me how to write in cursive writing because I was younger than her
wow.
and taught me handwriting. And then she went to Georgetown and graduated cum laude and is now a diplomat. So
it's amazing. Yeah.
You know,
it is.
We know. I mean, we may take it for granted, but I have seen so many stories mm-hmm. of people coming to the U.S. and really taking charge of that and making their life amazing. So
yeah.
Wow. That's great. Well, tell me, I do want to talk about Fader Realty.
Yeah.
I want to know what's different about why, I mean, there's a lot of real estate companies, mm-hmm. right? So tell me.
So early on, you know, I was very focused on staging and preparing. You know, I got into real estate during a recession. So I'd heard in previous years, you just stuck a sign in the yard and things sold, but that was never my experience. So early on, you know, when I was in real estate, you really had to hustle to get things sold. And I've always sort of been interested in design and things. So from almost within a couple of years of being in real estate, I hired a stager who would work on all my listings. So I started to get a reputation for having really nice listings. And that was partly because I happened to know some really great, cool people in town mm-hmm. who have really great houses, but also because my stager would go in and prepare the listings. So we tried, whether it was a $150,000 house or a $1 million home, to help that house really stand out from the competition. You know, staging's getting more common, but we still feel like we have years of experience thinking about how to maximize that aspect of what we do. We sometimes start relationships with sellers years in advance.
Right.
Sometimes we're in homes, you know, 6 months to 12 months before they list, helping them pick out paint colors, helping them pick out countertops, all of these things to sort of help them, you know, maximize their investment when they sell. Mm-hmm. So part of it is getting into it at a time when real estate was challenging, made us work really hard to get houses sold
right.
in a way that we don't leave anything to chance. And I really see that when I see how we present our listings and how we negotiate and how we prepare our listings. I feel like we're taking advantage of the years when this was really difficult
mm-hmm.
to really, we're always pushing the market. My little group, in terms of the price per square foot we get for listings, is always on the high end for neighborhoods.
That's great.
And also our days on market has always, even before houses were selling in a couple of days, we had one of the best, shortest days on market periods as well. So I think part of it is just hard work. And then it's partly just that we know some fabulous artists and creatives in town, and mm-hmm. that helps us get the reputation that we sell cool houses.
Right. So how hard is it for someone who is in a different industry and wants to become a real estate agent? How hard is that? And how long does it take generally for someone, you know, they have to pass their exams mm-hmm. and they have to be
yeah.
licensed. I mean, what's your recommendation to somebody looking to get out of the industry they're in
yeah.
and join real estate?
So a lot of it is, you know, are you established in the community already? and how quickly you can pivot from people thinking of you as X to thinking of you as a real estate agent. Like everything, a lot of it is about, you know, contacts established, and a lot is about hard work. There are a lot of new realtors that have joined the industry in the last 18 months. So it's a volatile period. And, it's a tough period right now to be getting into it in some ways, because there's so many more realtors. I think there might be more than twice the number than when I got into real estate. It is somewhat saturated. Mm-hmm. That said, one of my new team members moved here from out of state within a few months in real estate. She's had an incredibly successful run of closings. Now she gets out there and meets people and works really, really hard. Like a lot of things, a lot of it is luck, mm-hmm. and then a lot of it is just working.
There's tenacity and showing up.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's what I tell my team, coming into a new brand. I mean, we're 3 years old, and coming into a new brand you're not working for Chanel. we don't have the brand equity, but mm-hmm. as you continue to stay your authentic self, you demonstrate to people that you're trustworthy, mm-hmm. that you are worthy of talking to, mm-hmm. that grows the brand. And you are very authentic, which is why I wanted to interview you. I mean, you are consistent, whether you're selling a home mm-hmm. or you're having coffee. And that is so underrated to mm-hmm. me, somebody that doesn't change, if they walk in one room to the other room. So, and thank you for bringing Solarte on board as your closing gifts.
We're so thankful
for, you're the first real estate group to do that. And during the pandemic, for pivoting, a lot of companies have had to do that. It's funny because you're right. The positives from COVID, it's like this whole new world opening mm-hmm. up that we wouldn't have been focused on. Mm-hmm. And, growing your brand and partnering with the right people at the right time, it's just critical that you get that right. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I couldn't have a better, woman-owned company who is putting our brand in homes at closings. So thank you. And we are moving forward with a few other platforms, just so people know that. We, in the pivot, have started fundraising platforms for nonprofit organizations. So, we're doing real estate, we're doing the nonprofit side where, I'm talking to Junior Achievement, I'm talking to Breast Friends and different companies that want to work with authentic brands making their mark. So Fader Real Estate Group is continuing in their success. And if you are looking to sell your home or buy a home, anywhere in the US.
Anywhere, we've got great contacts all over the country. Yeah.
How do people get in touch with you?
Probably the easiest way is on our website, which is faderre.com. So it's FaderRe.com. And we also have an Instagram page at FaderRE, and all of our contact information is there.
Okay, great. Yeah. Well, thank you so much. This has been a great time together. And I hope that, who knows, maybe you'll be listing our property in the next few months. You have to kind of convince the whole family.
Absolutely.
That it's a good thing. All right. Have a great afternoon, guys. Thanks for joining us. And we'll be around in the next few days for another podcast. Take care. Thanks for joining.
Thank you.